Hey there, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Robert Winters.
Judy Nathans.
And today is, what's today's date? June 7th?
June 7th. It's the day of something. It's not infamy. Is it the day of infamy?
No. That's in December. December 7th, 1941. So, a day that will live in infamy.
All right. Not day. Then what's the other one that's happened in June?
D-Day. D-Day.
That D-Day.
Right. I think D-Day was like yesterday. Yeah. Yeah.
Yesterday? So.
So I'm not going to celebrate that one. I mean, we can simply acknowledge the fact that the beginning of the end began a day or so ago there. So anyway, it's pretty good. So anyway, so let's see what's happening here since we met you.
Lots of stuff.
Yeah. I think might as well cut right to the chase and say the big item without question, I think this one's a hands down winner for top item in the civic political world of Cambridge was the selection of the city manager.
Right.
Or and
you pronounce his name how?
It's Yian Huang.
Is it two syllables? Because I've heard people say Yan.
A lot of people just say Yan. And they announced the four finalists a couple of weeks ago, and then it was followed by a meet the finalists forum at the Fitzgerald Auditorium at the high school.
I went to that. You went to that.
We were both there.
It was also about, I guess, 100 plus people watched it.
Yeah, it was pretty sparse crowd. I imagine.
Well, in person.
Yeah.
Well, I think I caught it somehow that it was not that 100 on Zoom.
Yeah. And then there was the following day, the truth is they've been at it for a long time, creating the whole candidate profile and everything else leading up to this. Yeah. But, once they really started going earlier this year, it really kind of happened pretty fast.
Right.
And there were, I've heard different numbers about the total number of people who applied for the position. It somehow made it to like 30 who got pre-screened, I think something like that. And then it was down to like 10 or something. And then eventually four, though several, at least one city councilor has said that there were five and one dropped out.
I have no
idea who that person would have been, or even if that's an accurate statement.
Right.
But it was down to four. And then they had the city council interviews. So this was all last week. So it was Fitzgerald Auditorium on Tuesday, city council interviews at the Sullivan Chamber on Wednesday, and then followed by a special meeting embedded within the regular meeting.
Yeah, but that was only a few minutes. Like it seemed like it was very short.
But
they went into executive session. That was short. And then
that was afterwards.
And they had the special meeting.
No.
It was
incorrect.
Right. I'm not going to argue with you.
There was a regular meeting that began at 5:30.
Yeah.
And a special meeting that began at 6 o'clock. Right. So they recessed the regular meeting to go into the special meeting.
That's what it was.
And then during the special meeting, there was public comment, a lot of public comment.
Yes.
And then it culminated with some debate over the, which wasn't really a debate. It was just each of the councilors in turn made some statements about who they thought were the better candidates for them and why. So you kind of knew who they were voting for in the process there.
Right.
And then they had an official vote. And then afterwards, they closed that meeting and they went into executive session to talk about how they're going to negotiate it. And then when they came back from that, they then they adjourned the special meeting and then resumed the regular meeting. From a procedural point of view, there was some unknowns for me. Like I remember other processes where basically it was sort of a foregone conclusion who had the votes. So somebody simply made a motion to offer a contract to candidate X, and then they took a vote on that candidate. But what they actually did last night was they went through a vote where each of the city councilors alphabetically, except for the mayor at the end, named who they wanted to be chosen for city manager, very identical to the way they do the voting for mayor. Mm-hmm. All right. So it's very different than a city council order. And, you know, again, culminating in, at some point you sort of see that, okay, they were clearly going to be a majority of votes. And, you know, going in, and, you know, there were other procedural things too. Like, for example, if one of the city councilors had followed the advice of one activist in North Cambridge saying they should exercise their charter right to delay this another week. And I said, I don't think they can. And the reason was, is that it wasn't new business because the names had been introduced the previous week. Right, or I should say at the previous meeting. So this was now, it was on the calendar, or essentially on the calendar for action. So and the other thing question was, could one of the councilors filed for reconsideration?
Oh, right.
Which could have delayed the matter for a week.
I don't know why it couldn't have just been a special meeting separate from the council business meeting. I just think
I think it was only because they just
very wonky.
It was one way to have everybody there. So
I guess.
Right.
Well, they should be there anyway.
You should be there, but that's another question. Anyway. So anyway, in the end, there were, and I'll say a few more other things here. You know, on the various neighborhood listservs, you know, there was all sorts of chatter. A lot of people saying, like, I can't believe these are the only candidates they came up with. What a crummy process.
Yeah.
Not a single one of them is qualified. And I'm just going to flat out say.
You heard someone say not a single one of them is qualified?
I heard many people saying that, including including a former head of the community development department.
Wow.
Now, I'm going to make a declaration here and say they were all wrong.
Yeah.
All four of these candidates were qualified.
Well, I would exception some of that, but yeah.
Well, they all had different things to bring to the table.
Yeah.
In terms of skills and you know, temperament, etc. You know, so
they should have been there, is what you're saying. There's no reason why they shouldn't have been in that room.
Right. So I went out of my way, at least on one listserv, to say, look, cut it out. They're all qualified. Now, look, can we just talk about who you like, right?
Yeah.
And in the end, I'm going to say, because so let's be clear: the person who was chosen, there were four candidates. One was Iram Farouk, who's the current head of the Community Development Department; Norman Kumalo, who was town manager of Hopkinton; Cheryl Watson Fisher, who's city solicitor in Chelsea. And Yian Huang, who worked for sort of as a systems person for the Boston Medical Center.
Some kind of executive position, right.
Yeah. So all four brought different skills, different backgrounds to the table. In the end, they chose Yian Huang, right? Which I think is a very good choice.
Not your first choice.
No, it wasn't my first choice, but you know, if you asked,
no, he wasn't you. I thought he was.
No. I'll say it publicly. I preferred Cheryl Watson Fisher.
Yeah, me too.
But you know,
certainly qualified. Yeah,
she was my first choice. Yian Huang was my second choice. So I can't complain.
But
I want to say something else. You know, I mean, I was sort of handicapping the race a little bit a week ago, saying, well, let's see, who's got three votes? And I actually thought for a while that it was going to be deadlocked with, you know, three votes for one candidate, maybe for another, two for one.
Or four and one that didn't decide. Yes.
Yeah. And then, you know, and then it was going to be a question about who's going to blink, right? But in the end, I knew when I walked in City Hall last night, you know, I asked one person, I said, so are we going to be deadlocked? And I said, no, the votes are there to elect someone. So I knew it. But so it was just a matter of listening to people's reasoning. And I'm going to say it flat out, as a person who is often correctly accused of being cynical about the current Cambridge City Council, perhaps for good reason, that I have to say that in the end, when all nine city councilors went through, you know, in their explanations about who they liked and why they liked, I thought they all made great sense. And they were great statements from all nine city councilors, you know, and I, you know, I, they got nothing to be ashamed of in this choice. I got to say that, you know, so.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm sure he'll be fine. I just didn't. Yeah, I as I've said before, I feel like there's definitely a different kind of Cambridge than there was 10 years ago, even, but, you know, and you can see that, and that's good. I mean, look at Boston, Mayor Wu. I mean, I right. thought, you know, Andrea Campbell would have been a great, you know, representing, but so right. I think there is definitely a dynamic for young and you know, people that right. are go-getters.
So, and actually, he is, and he's got on that
he's
point,
the whole, everything ticks off, you know?
Right. So on that point, yeah. you know, there was, you know, there was a lot of, you know, a lot of people chattering back and forth, a lot of people calling up counselors and sending mm-hmm. email to counselors. And
oh, they had, you know, hundreds there was a, of emails.
There yeah. was lots and lots of pressure being exerted, not only from individuals, but also some from some of the resident political groups in the city who were
oh,
sort of
definitely.
Trying to influence this.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh,
which yeah, which yeah, is yeah. something that it's not, there's nothing illegal about that. Let's be clear about that. But there's something a little bothersome to me about that, only because in my kind of Pollyanna world, political people run political campaigns to get elected. But yeah. when you're choosing a city manager, that's not really supposed to be political. That should be a matter of qualifications. And when you yeah, have political this, groups lobbying, yeah. it's not illegal or anything, but it did kind of bug me a bit.
This felt like an election. This felt like people were voting. Not just yeah. the city council, you know, and it just seems different because maybe because it's never been this open of a group, you know. We've had Louis, we had before that Rossi just stepped in, you know, so it was a new thing.
But, well, I think there's yeah. also a fundamental misunderstanding about a planning form of government too. A lot of people yeah. still have this notion that, well, shouldn't we be electing the mayor directly, you yeah. know, the mayor will become the CEO, right. like in the city of Boston and city of yeah. Somerville and places like that.
Right.
And for that, yes. So when you run for to become the CEO of yeah. the city, yes, yeah. it's a political campaign. Yeah. But the planning charter is a fundamentally different thing, where it's you elect your elected officials, and they are then charged with simply choosing a professional to basically manage the affair.
I know, but they almost see the city manager in almost a mayoral type of thing.
Yeah, but that's, I think really, that's really the misunderstanding, yeah. is that
I know that, but I think that's that where this younger whole group is, that they have a voice and we want, I don't know.
Right. Now, you did touch upon—
We'll see how that survives. Right. Yeah,
you did touch upon something with yeah. the analogy with the Boston mayor election, I think is uh-huh. worth mentioning. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. You know, because I was in the Sullivan chamber, for the vote, you know, I really do like to be there, and I like to see what yeah. people are saying.
I saw you on the screen. Yeah.
And I listen to what people are saying around me in the audience.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, there's something richer about the experience of sort of taking mm-hmm. it all in that way.
Right.
You know, and, you know, I think it's fair to say that there was a lot of hope and a lot of residents, primarily native-born residents and primarily yes. Black residents of Cambridge.
Yes.
But this yeah. was like the big golden opportunity when they would right. not only have a woman city council, but also a person of color.
Yeah.
And home by person ground, of color, yeah. I do mean African American in this case, because I know right. there's a lot of right. different Many uses of the from, term yeah. here. And right. and it really was sort of a big hope of a lot of people, especially people who knew Cheryl Watson.
Yeah, grew up with her
forever.
High school, with
right?
her, yeah.
You know, and love her. I mean, really, yeah. they think so highly of her.
Yeah.
And for them, they kind of, even though I'm not going to in any way critique the choice, because I think yeah. it's a good choice, but I absolutely understand why everybody was feeling very upset and, yeah. and sort of crestfallen after the vote.
She was a choice, I think, for a large group of people that are not the same people that whose choice was. I mean, I think in that way it hurt in that way, because she felt very relatable. She felt like she's one of us.
That's right.
But I think people clearly said they don't want one of us. They don't want anybody that has anything to do with this administration past. Future. Right. And I think that's unfortunate. But
I think Paul Toner in his remarks, when they were going, around Robin.
I really appreciated his remarks.
He was very clear. I said, there seems to be this unfortunate undercurrent of discussion here of people somehow saying because you were born and raised in Cambridge and have
you have no right to have it, you shouldn't stay here.
that this is somehow a negative and a disqualifying thing. And I, listen, I was not born and raised in Cambridge, but I have a tremendous sympathy for the people who are born and raised here and why they sort of want their representation as well. So I thought Paul was absolutely spot on in making note of that rather negative aspect of this whole process.
But
in the end, I think all four candidates are qualified. I wasn't going to be horrified if anybody got selected. I'm pretty okay. It'll be different. I think one thing that everybody should keep in mind is that there are, unless there's like mass firings or people leaving, which I doubt, there's a lot of people in all the city departments who are there, who know the ropes, who know the city, and the new city manager will, I presume, rely upon all of these people.
They'll have to, because he has no idea of how our government or any government really. I mean, yes, he's been at BNC, but he's a smart cookie. I mean, he's going to catch on. He's going to do it. Yes. And he's very affable. I think he's very willing to listen. He's young. That's all good. What about the what does the deputy city manager do? Because we haven't had one since.
All right. So there's nothing in the charter.
That person.
Yes. And the city council does not have to approve the person. I mean, I do vaguely remember that at one point when a deputy city manager was chosen, that the city council might have gone through something like a formal vote. But I kind of said to myself, well, why are they doing that? Because they don't need to do that.
But then how do people know about the position? Is it basically invite only, or I don't get
it? The deputy city manager basically is there to assist the city manager. And it fundamentally, it's not named in the charter. I suppose if you wanted to take a loose reading of the city charter, you might say, well, a deputy city manager is sort of part of the city manager position, therefore the council should vote. But I don't believe that.
But what is their function? Is it like being the vice president?
Right? In a certain sense, you could draw a little bit of an analogy with the vice presidency in the United States, in the sense that there is no job description laid out in the Constitution, but the president, or in our case, the city manager, pretty much creates the role and often has needed that extra person. During Bob Healey's tenure, Rich Rossi was a very essential player. He was the one who was interactive with the community.
Right.
Process is going on. I remember February 21 committee, I think maybe even on the Green Ribbon Open Space Committee, you could count upon the deputy city manager as being a person who would play a critical role in these processes. So
would that be a position that Cheryl Fisher would be interested in, or be invited to be, or would it not be kosher?
It's possible. Look, anything's kosher. To me, this is something that the compatibility with the city manager is really probably the most important thing for that. So, city manager.
He's a total unknown, and who knows?
It doesn't matter. But the thing is, they are trusting their city manager. I mean, let's be clear. This is the city council's city manager.
Fine. Right? Okay. I don't want to talk about it anymore because I have no idea what's going on.
But they picked the person, and now this person is entrusted to, potentially change department heads, though I seriously doubt whether they're going to see any of that. But it could
not
happen.
Not in the first year. I doubt it. I mean,
well, unless there were vacancies, right? But just as the city manager would have to fill any vacancies in any of those principal roles, the city manager, presumably, especially because it's a person who is not as rooted in municipal government of Cambridge as some of the predecessors have been,
Yeah.
Presumably, this is a city manager who will need a deputy city manager.
Right.
And hopefully, you know,
someone that knows what's going on in the city. Yeah,
somebody who's much closer to the ground in the city, you know, and
right.
There are plenty of good people around the city who
there could be somebody coming up through the ranks of the city too.
Could be somebody within one of the current city departments.
Departments, right?
Yeah, absolutely right. You know, so I mean, Lisa Peterson, for example, who was our most recent deputy yes. city manager. Prior to that, was Commissioner of Public Works.
Yes,
I know. Prior to that, worked as a assistant to the city manager in the city manager's office. So, that's kind of the best place I think to go fishing for a good city.
But they've done without a deputy city manager for almost a while now. So why even fill it?
Right. Well, Think of the timing. I think Lisa left in January or thereabouts of 2020, and then COVID was coming in. So during COVID, you know, just part of the necessity of balancing the funds was leaving a lot of positions vacant.
Oh, so you think that was purposely left vacant?
I'm just saying is that they were leaving there were a lot of budgeted positions that were not filled.
I didn't think of that. That's interesting.
It was kind of part of the strategy of basically making sure that we were fluent, you know, the funds were there.
If the city functioned, especially during those hard, bad times, without it, then maybe that money could be used. I'm just saying,
during the height of COVID though, the most essential players were police commissioner of public health, public works, you know, people who had to sort of play a role
be on the ground,
basically crisis workers. Management.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Right.
You know, and so that's who were essentially fulfilling the role, in my view. They had their own names, you know, as the public health commissioner, et cetera.
Right. Okay.
Right. I mean, even the fire department was actually brought in. When I got my booster shot, it was from a member of the Cambridge Fire Department, right?
Everybody was
hands on deck, you know. So
speaking of which, Owen is going to be the interim city manager until.
Right. So, Leon so after, job. You're right. And I think, you know, just because I like to have a bit of an educational component to what we do here. It does say explicitly in the charter that if in the absence of a city manager, the city council can appoint an acting city manager, but they can't just basically hire their cousin Billy. It has to be somebody who is a current assistant city manager. And what that means is a department head of one of the major departments. So in historically, Ralph Dunphy, who was a commissioner of public works, and so was his son, Ralph Dunphy Jr. later on, but the dad, he actually served as acting city manager at one point when there was a gap until they had settled on the permanent city manager because he had been commissioner of public works. So yes, you're absolutely correct. They did, after the city council came out of their executive session, they did vote, apparently with the okay of Owen O'Riordan, commissioner of public works, that he would be willing to stand in for a matter of weeks or more until such time as Huang,
and they actually gave the amount of money he would receive. I thought that was interesting.
Well, it's a stipend.
$2,500 a week.
Right. Yeah. So, so they've covered all their bases. Listen, maybe the new guy might show up on July 6th. I don't think so, but
he won't even be available.
Right.
Then.
Right. Yeah. So, but in any case, it was a good thing and an important thing to make sure that there was, you know, that they had named who would be there. You know, I mean, they could have waited till later in June or something, but I think it was a very wise move for them to work it out in advance. And I'm very glad that they did. By the way, I think it's worth mentioning here, and perhaps we can talk more in the next half hour. But remember, this was a case where there were three positions to be filled by the city council. There are only three direct hires: city manager, city clerk, and city auditor. So it is worth mentioning that at the prior city council meeting on May 23rd, I believe it was, they did, actually it was at a special meeting in the morning before the regular May 23rd meeting. Mm-hmm. They did in fact unanimously vote to appoint Joseph McCann as the city auditor and Diane LeBlanc, or LeBlanc as she pronounces it. So I guess that's what we should say, as city clerk.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, and I got to meet her that day. I think she's wonderful. And I think it'll be great. And they also appointed Paula Crane, who's the deputy city clerk, to serve as the interim city clerk until such time as Ms. LeBlanc takes over
and leave her other position.
Yeah. So, you know, there was some, I certainly had concerns that, you know, is the city council up to doing three big appointments this way in a relatively tight time window of time? And they did. They did. So congratulations to the Cambridge City Council for pulling it off. Nicely done. You know,
so I got generous. You're so nice. Well, what else? I mean, what else got done?
Well, listen, if well, you know, that's another question, right? But at least,
I mean, there's just so much you can do.
Right. But
it's charter review. They have to do that this year. They are now, you know, they voted
right.
on that.
And we should definitely talk a little bit more about that to be sure. Yes. But at least in terms of these most important hires that we're set. So now they just have to, you know, figure out, you know, what it's going to be like and it's, there is a culture shift that will inevitably take place. Yeah. And we'll just sort of see how it works out. But I'm optimistic that at least in terms of the functioning of the city administration, we're in a good position. So we should take a couple minutes break here, but we'll be back.
And we'll see you in the next segment.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.